The Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. John talks about this in his gospel. St. Paul talks about it in his first letter of Corinthians chapter 11, which Margarita read for us. What we hear about there is the whole context of the Last Supper. That's what we're celebrating tonight. The Last Supper that Jesus shared with his apostles. And St. Paul says this. He says that he got this instruction, which he writes in 1 Corinthians, not in the gospel, from our Lord Jesus Christ the night before he died. What he did was he took bread and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." So all I want to do to make it very simple for us, we're simple people, just focus on that one sentence. This is my body. That's it. Those four words is all we're going to look at tonight during this great mystery. Because every Thursday, every Holy Thursday, we come each year together to remember what? The first Mass that Jesus celebrated with his apostles. We remember how Jesus did that. And what did this Mass that Jesus gave cost him? It cost him his life. It cost him his life's blood. So when I teach catechism, one of the kids, one of the little kids came up to me and he asked me, "Well, Father, how could Jesus say that this is my body if he hadn't died yet?" It's a good question, isn't it? He followed it up with this other question. He said, "How could they eat his body if he hadn't sacrificed it yet?" Smart kid. Well, what's the answer? How could Jesus do it if he hadn't died yet? How could Jesus do it if he hadn't sacrificed himself yet? Do you know? We're all Catholics, so we better know these things. The answer is very simple. It is this. What happens at Mass is that all of eternity folds into time. And time folds itself into eternity. It dilates in such a way that all moments are present to that moment. So what happens at Mass is not just that we're doing something, but the Last Supper is actually present. We're present at the Last Supper. As any one of our young men and women who've received their first Holy Communion can tell you, and those who are in training right now, can say, we don't re-kill Jesus every single day. Once he died, and that's sufficient. We're all there at Calvary. We're there at the resurrection. We're there at the ascension. We're there at the crucifixion. We're there. Each and every time Mass is sacrificed, what happens there really is that God, as he exists in the eternal presence. Remember, God is outside of time. He's outside of space. He's not bound by either time or space. So all realities are present to him in every moment. So he can reach into one thing that has not yet happened in our stream of reality yet and make its use present now. And so he does. That is the great mystery of our faith. So when Jesus at the Last Supper said, "This is my body," in the eternal nowness of God, he was already on the cross. He was already resurrected and already able to offer his very flesh to his disciples there at this first Mass, Holy Thursday. And it's the same at every single Mass that happens throughout the world. It happens even just tonight. We're not going to do, brothers and sisters, is to try to remember something that happened way back when. We're not going through some ritual alone that happens. We're not pretending or play acting, or like maybe you remember from your Mr. Rogers Neighborhood episodes, we're not going to the magical land of make-believe. That's not what happens at Mass. This isn't a play. In fact, there's somebody who I love dearly who was talking about tonight's service and was asked, saying, hey, is there you're gonna go through that play thing, aren't you? Well, I love this person, but we're not doing a play. This is the reality. Everything that happens here at Mass, the reality is present because Christ Jesus is present. That's what's going on. I'm too old to play make-believe. We're playing make reality. Jesus is making his reality present here tonight. We're going to be at the Last Supper in this moment. We'll be right there, right here upon this altar. It's all going to be taking place. God will offer his life for you and for me in reality. And it's not a pretend game. But one of the difficulties for me is I don't think we get it. We don't understand it. We don't know what happens at Mass. So let me tell you a story about a priest. A priest who was giving a tour to a Protestant minister. The Protestant minister had just arrived in town. They began to hit it off, this Catholic priest and this Protestant minister. So he decided to invite him into his church and to show him and to explain to him all the beautiful things that we have as Catholics. As he went through the baptismal font in the back and moved over, explained the stations of the cross and the statues, he arrived into the sanctuary. And when he did, explaining all the things that were in there, what he did was what every priest would do. When he passed through the center, as each one of us do, genuflected, and then moved on to the other side to begin to explain the things on the other side of the church. This puzzled the minister, and he said, why? Wait a second, why are you doing that thing? Why are you genuflecting right there? And the priest said, as we all know and believe, well, we do this because we as Catholics know. No, we believe, we know that Jesus is present there in the tabernacle. He's the King. He's God. And so anytime we pass by him, we want to recognize his dignity with a profound act of reverence. So we go down on our knees. That got the Protestant man thinking. And you know what he said in reply? He said, you know what? If I believe that Jesus was actually present there in that box, that was really God in there, I would never get off my knees. Interesante, no? If God Almighty is actually there, he'd never get off his knees. So the Protestant minister has something to teach us there. Do we believe? Do we believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is actually present there? And if we do, how do we show it? How do we demonstrate that Jesus is actually present in there? You know, I used to ask my confirmation kids this all the time. You know, I've taught confirmation since I was 16 years old myself. And I used to ask my confirmation kids, hey, do you believe that Jesus is present in the tabernacle? Especially when we're on retreat and everybody's all pumped up. And they say, yes, yes, we believe that he's there. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, just like you taught us. I say, oh, is that right? I think you're all liars, I said to them. I think you're liars, because if you believed that he was really there, you would stop and visit him. That you wouldn't flee from your pew immediately after Mass ended, but you'd want to remain with him. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is actually there in the tabernacle. This applies to all of us equally, not just my confirmation students. Jesus is there. He's present. He's real. You know, I've always wanted to have a parish mission and be able to say some of these things. I wouldn't say it to you because you'd all string me up on a cross myself and crucify me. You'd hate me if I said this to you, so I'm not saying it to you. But if I ever had, I wish I would be bold enough to say such a thing as this. But I'd like to ask them, they're always really excited when you go on a parish mission, and to say, how many people in this community, how many people in this church believe that Jesus Christ is truly present in the tabernacle? And you know what? Because everybody's so excited, all those hands are going to go up. Everybody does. That's what happens at a parish mission. I just say, whoa, amazing. And then I say, okay, and how many of you go to daily Mass? 5 to 10% of people would put their hands up, if we're lucky. And then I'd say, and the rest of you are liars. Because if we believe that Jesus is actually present at the Mass, if that is actually the sacrifice of Calvary that is happening for us, that has the blood which is able to wipe away the sins of the whole world, why would we ever have anything more important than that? Why would we not come and love him and adore him and seek to have him within us at every moment? They'd string me up and kill me if I did that. But they did it to him too. You know, if I told everybody in this town that I'd give them $1 million if they'd just come here tonight, I bet you we could get everybody in Fort Sumner to come. I think we'd get people from Santa Rosa to come. We'd get people from Clovis, maybe a few from Corona. They'd all be here. This place would be completely packed, right? Well, I'm here to tell you something different, that what's actually going on is that Jesus is going to give his life for you tonight, something greater. Everybody would be excited if I was handing out $1 million in this Mass, but I'm handing out Jesus Christ himself. And what's the response to that? Yeah. Just a big yawn. Saying, oh, I can go do that anytime. I can go to that anywhere. Or to say, you know what? Dancing with the Stars is on. I think I'll go ahead and go off and do that another time. I won't come tonight. I've got another program on. But Jesus is here. Jesus is actually present here tonight. And when Jesus says, this is my body, he's not lying. It's funny though. I come from a Protestant background. And so I can talk about this very well. My grandparents are Pentecostal Protestants. And they take everything within Scripture so literally. But I think it's funny because when it comes to this passage in Scripture, which is in there many, many times, they don't take that part literally. When they say, oh, he was meaning something else. He was speaking figuratively, but not literally in this instance. I tell you, he meant it. He meant it. Because if he didn't, that would mean Jesus is a liar. And Jesus is not a liar. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's God. And so Catholics, if Christ isn't present in the Eucharist, then what we're doing is we're worshiping a silly piece of bread. And you know what that makes us Catholics? If Jesus isn't actually in the Eucharist, that makes us the worst, the most demon-possessed of all demon worshipers in the entire world. If Jesus isn't actually present there, he's either present 100% or he's not present 100%. But Jesus said, this is my body. And if you want to call him a liar, go for it. But Jesus said it, and I believe it, and I'm willing to stake my entire life upon that fact. That's why I became a priest. And that's what you and I have to be willing to do tonight. Be willing to stake our life on Jesus' presence there in the Blessed Sacrament, which he confected on that first Holy Thursday. And when we come and say amen tonight, when we come and receive our Lord and come down to receive the Eucharist, when we say amen, that's what we're saying. We're saying, I'm willing to stake my life on the fact that your presence is here and that you wish to come into me. That amen means that I'm willing to stake my life on it, saying that I believe that it's true. The Eucharist is his body 100%. That is the God-man Jesus that we're receiving, because Jesus isn't a liar. So tonight, Jesus says, this is my body. You'll hear that, and you'll know it. The difference is it true? Do we believe that Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity is really there? You know what? He's going to give us an opportunity to show that we believe it, not just with our words. He's going to let us do it with our actions. To say that he's present, to act out of our belief. Because what are we going to do? What happened after the disciples received the body and blood of Jesus at that Passover meal, at that first Mass? Remember what it says there? Look in your Bibles. You should be reading John chapter 18 and 19 this week. Remember, we talked about that on Sunday. It says they left there. They all got up, rose, processed out, singing a hymn, and went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Pray with Jesus. You know, that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. We're all going to stand up and process through this church singing hymns to Jesus. We're going to go to the parish hall and to pray with Jesus there, our own Garden of Gethsemane, that we might remain with him 1 hour in prayer, loving him, adoring him, and seeing that he is worshiped. And if your faith makes you strong enough to say, yes, Jesus, I stake my life on your presence there in the tabernacle, I urge you to give that hour with Christ. Because when we give an hour to Christ, he gives his hour for us, which is the hour upon that cross, which gives us salvation. If you want to be heir to salvation, give him an hour, and he'll give you his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.